All right, if you've got your Bibles, want to turn to 2 Kings, book of 2 Kings. Let me get there and tell you exactly. Chapter number 4, 2 Kings chapter 4. I appreciate all the testimonies. Amen. I don't have a long message tonight, and I'm not just saying that, and then it'll get long. It's a short thought. It really is just a thought, but it sure dovetails into what's been going on. God knows what He's doing way before it comes time to do it. Amen. And I'm glad that He does. I'm glad He's in control. By the way, I mentioned about that. I mentioned about that Catholic lady getting saved at my dad's church last Sunday. And I do pray for her. Pray that God might help her to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. But also, Brother Jimmy Moyes sent me a text this afternoon. They had a family that had been visiting some. They'd been sort of off and on from a Church of Christ background. Anyway, this morning they were there. Their 14-year-old son came down the aisle with tears in his eyes, called on the Lord and got saved. Amen. Brother Moyes is having, I believe they're almost like in revival, looks like to me. And they're having great blessings. Amen. And they're in a time of some great struggle. Their lease runs up the last day of this month, this week. Their lease runs up on their building. And the man told them, the building's for sale. The man's not interested in continuing the lease. He wants to sell the building. But has told them that he might give them 6 more months to try to work something out. That's just that he talked to me that this past week. That's just word of mouth. That's not on paper. So pray that God work that out. He'd like to be able to stay where they're at, and God help them be able to do that. But Brother Moyes had that young man saved. Also, another missionary family we support, the Rogers family. Some of you already know about somebody help me. Brother Chris Rogers, thank you. His wife thought she's expecting their 6th child. Found out this week it's 6 and 7. Amen. And so they're excited. Amen. And excitement about to pick up around there. Amen. In New Mexico. Amen. Well, that's a blessing. Amen. Amen. All right. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Probably very familiar scripture. Verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. My brother Williams, when he was here the other week, preached, used this text, this thought dealing with debt and money handling. All right, verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege again to be in the house of God. Lord, I want to thank you for the abundance of all that you've allowed us to live off of these years. Lord, the blessings of God that have been abundant. Lord, I'm thankful, as Brother Shelby said, though we'll never be empty of troubles, Lord, we'll never be empty of blessings. And we can see, as he said, the Lord holding back the troubles just at the right time. Lord, helping us to be able to get our breath, helping us be able to get our footing again by your grace and face the troubles that are yet ahead of us. just as you did for this lady. Father, I want to thank you for the church. I want to thank you for our church family. Oh, Lord, the as has been said, the close-knitness, the bond that is there. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, help us that we would glorify thy name. Lord, I pray that you'd help these that we're praying for them to be saved. There's a number here, dads and moms, people that we want to see saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be the witness. And then also, Lord, help us to trust you to be the witness, that they might get saved by the grace of God, to do that work that we cannot do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Amen. The story of Elijah and the miracle of the widow's oil is probably well known to all of us. I'm preaching tonight on this thought, the wonder of the widow's oil. I was here years ago in a marathon. It may have been a Jubilee meeting when Brother Randy Saucedraw preached from this text. And I don't remember what he titled it. It may have been the same title. I don't remember. But he preached about the miracle of the widow's oil and the blessings of God. This is not the same message. I couldn't preach it like he did anyway if I tried to. Amen. But although we've heard sermons and we've heard Sunday school lessons on this widow's oil, there's something yet here that caught my attention some time ago that blessed me and helped me see some of the blessings that we have right now. And I'd like to look at this portion, if I can, just a thought. I've got 3 points, just little thoughts. And the last point is the real message. And I hope that it'll be a blessing and you'll see it with us. First of all, I want us to notice the picture. I want us to notice the practical. And I want us to notice the pouring of the oil. First of all, the picture that it was in these verses that I read to you. We have the story of a poor widow. This woman has just recently probably buried her husband, who was a fine, upstanding man. He was a good father and he was a prophet, but he owed a great debt. He was an indebted man. Amen. If you've ever raised children, you understand something about that. Amen. It costs money to raise children. If you've ever tried to serve the Lord, I know you know something about that too. Sometimes it costs money. Sometimes we have to turn down extra things that we could have done in order to be able to serve God like that He wants us to. And so sometimes we may feel ourselves getting in debt. This lady was indebted to the point that she was actually hounded by the creditors. They were coming not only to take everything she had, but to take her only source of livelihood, which would be her children. And apparently, it looks to me like these were probably children, not grown young men, not able, she was not ready to turn them out on the workforce because they still needed her in the home, it looks like to me in this story. And so she couldn't expect them to provide for her. She's still in the providing for them category, if you see where I'm at in that thought. But this creditor didn't care. And by the way, if you get in debt enough, they don't care. Amen. They don't care. There's no mercy with those. Amen. And I'm not going to re-preach that message, but that's a good thought that Brother Williams brought to us on that day. But this woman comes to the prophet Elisha for some help, for some aid. Amen. He inquires of her what it is that she expects him to do. Amen. And he asks her, what does she have in her possession? She mentions that all she has left. And then notice that in verse number 2. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid, and look at this, hath, and here's my phrase, not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. She didn't have extra that she could sell. She didn't have anything that she could work with and try to give on that. She said, I don't have anything. She couldn't bake a cake and try to sell it. She didn't have means of any other source other than, she said, I've just got a little bit of oil. I've got a pot of oil and that's all I've got. She had probably, it looks to me like, had probably exhausted every means she could just probably to stay alive and just probably to keep her children out of the hands of the creditors up to that time. She didn't have anything. And here's what he said. He said, all right, then go to your neighbors. Go to all your neighbors and borrow empty vessels. Now that sounds strange. If you came to me and you said, "Preacher, can you help me pay my bills?" And I said, "Go borrow some empty boxes. Get you some empty jugs." You're going to think, "What's he? Has he got a liquor still I don't know about?" No, you're going to think, "What's he? He is from North Carolina, by the way." And I don't. I don't have a liquor still. Never have. Amen. But you might think, "Well, what's he? That's silly." Well, listen, what Elijah was trying to do, Elijah was trying to get her to exercise faith. Amen. And that's exactly what she did do, even though it sounded silly, even though it sounded foolish. This woman does not seem to have faltered. This woman does not seem to have argued. This woman does not seem to put up any question or any complaint. She just does exactly what he said. Look at verse number 5. "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out." She did exactly what the man of God told her to do. Didn't matter how silly it was. Didn't matter what anybody else thought about it. She just did what he said to do. Amen. And God worked a miracle while she's pouring out that oil. She's got one vessel, and I don't know if it's full, but she pours another vessel. And here's, I imagine, and let's just think practically. If she's got a vessel, let's say this thing holds 2 quarts. I know it doesn't. Let's say it holds a half gallon. Then she probably gets a 1 quart vessel to pour this into it. And it fills that. Then she gets another 1 quart vessel, and it fills that too. And they still oil in the vessel. So this time she goes and gets a half gallon, praise God, and fills the half gallon. She said, "Boys, bring me one of them big jugs," amen. In other words, she's seeing that God is working a miracle. And by the way, that's how that builds our faith. When we see God doing little things, don't fail to notice the little things He does, because they may very well be leading us to bigger things, amen. And our God is able to do big as well as small things for us. Amen. But she poured the vessel out, poured the oil out of the vessel, and it did not run dry, and it did not run out until she ran out of vessels. And she still had oil in her vessel. And she asked for another. She inquired of her sons, "Bring me another vessel." They said, "We don't have any more." That's it. And the Bible said, and the vessel stayed. The oil stayed in verse number 6. So after she'd done all that, she again goes to inquire to the man of God. She asks Elijah, "What should I do now? I've done this step." By the way, let me stop and say this. It's just practical teaching. Not only don't fail to notice the small things, but don't fail to be faithful in the small things. You don't have to know what the last step of the plan is, as long as you know what the next step is. If you know what the next step is, take that step and trust God, amen, and trust His Word to give you the next step, amen. Sometimes we think we've got to know the whole plan before we start out first base, amen. We don't need to know the whole plan. We just need to know what the next step is, amen. And when we know what that step is, take that step by faith, and God will show you, as He did with Elijah or Elisha. He told her what to do further. He told her, "Go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live off of the rest." There must have been quite a bit of oil left there. Amen. Now, I want to say this, and I'm getting ready to go to my second point. I am glad God's interested in widows. I'm glad. I'm not a widow, but I know something about owing debts. I'm glad God's interested in people that owe debts. I'm glad God's interested in children. Amen. I'm glad God's interested in those who have needs, those who are debtors, those who have problems. And God invests in people, amen, who He knows has problems, because He's willing to work a miracle and might do more than we expect Him to do. Amen. He can do the unexpected, and He can do the unexplainable. Thank God. Amen. So that's the picture of the story, just in a nutshell. Now let me look at the practical applications that's involved here. And I've got 3 or 4 things, just simple, basic things that we can learn from it. Number one, the first thing I noticed, this prophet had a wife. He was not a Catholic.
Right.
Amen. He had a wife. By the way, the Catholics teach that you ought not marry. The priests, they say, should not marry. They forbid to marry. Paul said, that's a doctrine of devils. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not just railing on Catholics. I know some of y'all got family that's Catholics, but that their doctrine is a doctrine of devils. By the way, that's one of the reasons by them forbidding those men to marry. Those men, many of them burn in their lust. By the way, they talk secret and hear secret things from women.
Right.
Amen. They hear secret things from women, and there's a barrier that's broken down there. There's a burning in there, and that maybe some of what causes them to go to perversion and wickedness later on. Amen. Now, I'm not giving them an excuse. They ought to get out of that mess. Amen. They ought to get in the Bible, and they ought to do what the Bible says. Amen. The Bible says that marriage is honorable in all. Amen. And the bed undefiled. Amen. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. All through the Bible, the priests had wives. The Levites had wives. Amen. The priests had wives, and it's right. The prophets had wives. The apostles had wives. And there's no condemnation in the Scripture for a man having a wife. Amen. That's practical. Number two, second thing to notice about this is that prophets die. Boy, that's amazing. No, prophets die. Zechariah chapter number 1 verse 5 said, "Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever?" Sometimes we've got the idea that the man of God's going to always be there. We're going to always be able to go to him and get some instruction. We're going to always be able to go to him and ask him to pray for us. Listen, you can't always look to a man because men die. They're fallible. That they die. Amen. Even though they may be a good man, even though he may be very important to you, they die. They do not live forever. Amen. The third thing, notice, and this is in verse number 1, is that good men and men of God are seldom wealthy. I believe that's right. This prophet was a good man. Now, she said that about him. You know he was a good man. By the way, some say that this might have been the widow of Obadiah. That in the days of Elijah, you remember when Elijah thought he was the only one, and God said he had 7,000, hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. Obadiah had hidden, was it 100 or 150? He'd hidden a number of men in caves, 50 apiece, and was feeding them with bread and water. And some say that this was Obadiah, and that he had overextended himself trying to protect the prophets and the sons of the prophets from Ahab and Jezebel. I don't know. The historian Josephus says that this was Obadiah. And he's writing from a Jewish perspective and reading their Jewish histories. And he's saying that this is Obadiah. I don't know if it was or not, but I can say this. Much can be said about the dangers of credit. Amen. Much can be said about the dangers of debt. But we've heard a sermon on that, and I don't feel like I need to dig in it. But let me just say this. Don't get in debt till it distracts you from serving God, till it detracts you from serving God, till it detours you from being able to serve God. You ought to be careful and be advised how to handle debt. Amen. Debt's like a pot of boiling water. It can do good things, but you got to be careful how you handle it. Amen. Can be useful. It can also be very harmful depending on how you handle it. Amen. Well, just like this woman found out, debt can haunt us even after the death of our loved ones. It can affect our home and it can affect our family in very strenuous ways. Amen. Now, here's a note, and I appreciate what Brother William said about these things, but I notice in the Scripture, Elisha never condemned the woman nor her husband for the debt they had. He didn't condemn them. He didn't condemn the creditors for wanting what was owed to them. Amen. Rather, he told her, do what you can to pay the debt. Amen. He just gave this woman a possible way of escaping the servitude by an act of faith. Amen. Amen. My fourth thing I want to notice about just practical applications in verse number 2, and that is that Elisha did not abolish her debt. She owed the debt. Amen. He said, "What hast thou in thy house?" He offered her a way to pay off that debt. Amen. He asked her what he had. I said the other day, I believe this indicates that he expected her to sell everything she had if she had to in order to pay the debt. By the way, sometimes before God works a miracle, we've got to do everything we can before he'll step in and do what we can't. Amen. I do believe that's right. I think there's a lot of times that people sit around wanting God to do for them when they've not done what they could do. Amen.
That's right.
I had an old pastor when I was growing up, Brother Burl Fall. He used to say this. He said, God bless me with the strength and knowledge and ability to go out and plant a row of taters. God will bless with the sunshine and the rain and allow those taters to grow. And he said, God will bless me with strength to gather them in and put them in the basement. But he said he'll let them lay in the basement and rot before he'll peel one and cook it for me. What he was saying was, God gave me some knowledge and he gave me some ability and expects me to use mine. When that's exhausted, he'll do what I can't do. By the way, I can put them in the ground, but I can't make them grow. But God can do that. Amen. Amen. I can take them out and put them up, hopefully put them in a good place, but I can't make them keep. But he can. Amen. He can do all that. In other words, he'll do what we can't do. But what Elisha said for her to do was do what you can, not just what you can, all you can before you start asking for a miracle. Amen. Amen. The fifth thing that I notice here is in verses 3 through 6, and that is the scope of her miracle. Let's look at it again. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. I'm going to hold just a minute. Here's a woman already got in trouble for borrowing. And he said, go borrow more. It sounds like the bank, don't it? They'll send you these notes and they'll say, oh, we're concerned about your debt. We want to help you and consolidate all your debts into one great big debt. Yeah. Amen. Well, Elisha, I confuse those men a lot. Elisha is not asking her to borrow money. He's got a plan. But here's it. She's got to look like a fool to her neighbors. They know she don't have anything. They know she's probably already asked them for help. She's probably already told them her story. They know her situation. But Elisha wants them to know the miracle when the miracle takes place. Amen. So the more she spreads out about her need, and the more she goes and borrows these vessels, the more people are going to know. They're going to be watching, what in the world is she doing with all those vessels? And when they see her coming out of the house, vessel after vessel after vessel full of oil that's for sale, they'll know God did an amazing thing, amen, in her life. This is the scope. He told her, borrow vessels of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Look at this phrase, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt... Well, I'm going to stop just a minute. I just think about this. Somebody knocks on your door and they say, can I borrow an empty jug? And you say, well, how many do you need? And they say, how many you got? That's what he told her to do. Our tendency would be, well, just give me one or two. Just give me a few. I'll be all right. He said, don't you limit the work of God. Right. When you go and you knock on that door, if they've got any vessels, you tell them you want all they've got. Amen. Amen. That's faith. Look at it again, verse number 4. And when thou art come into the house now, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Now here's what I want you to notice. Her miracle was limited only by her faith. Every vessel she got her sons to bring, every vessel that she poured the oil into was filled. Every one. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, when we're inviting sinners to the house of God, don't be afraid if God might can save one that bad, or if God can save that many. He can save everyone we'll bring in. Amen. He can do the work that needs to be done in anyone or in all. Amen. I'm glad He can. But it was limited only by her faith. The oil filled every empty vessel that she provided. I believe God can answer every need we have if we'll take all of them to Him. Amen. If she had borrowed fewer vessels, she would have gotten lesser oil. If she had borrowed more vessels, she would have gotten more oil. Amen. Amen. Many times, I'm afraid, we want God to give us a 5-gallon jar of blessings on a quart jar of faith. Amen. You know what we got to do? We got to have big faith. Amen. We got to have big faith if we're going to expect God to do big things. I know the Bible talks about what God can do with little faith. And the reason He said that is because it's so hard for us to have any faith whatsoever. Amen. Really, it's true. But the practical teaching here is that her miracle was limited only to her faith. Now, and I don't mean just to dive into it and don't mean to make the message longer, but here's the thought, and I believe it's right. I know we're living in the last days. But I also know God's still on the throne. Amen. I know that the day's coming when we're going to face persecution, probably from government and from perverts and from all this mess. It's going to come against the church, come against the radio, come against the public outreach that we have, that those days are coming. But I also know that if we'll reach them with the truth, God can save whosoever will. Amen. Let's don't limit God as to what He can do even in these last days. Amen. Listen, He'll be God right up till Judgment Day and right on past Judgment Day. He'll still be God. Amen. Well, so I noticed the practical things here and I noticed the picture story. Last thing. This is where my thought really is. It's the pouring out in secret. I'd never noticed this till probably about a year ago I saw this. Look at verse number 4. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee. I read that one day and I thought, that sounds like what our Lord said in Matthew chapter number 7 about prayer. Go into your closet, and when thou art come in, shut the door and call on your Father which seeth in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Isn't that what He said? Amen. Amen. When thou art come in, verse 4, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons and shalt pour out. Now, that's what we're doing in that closet. We're going in, we're shutting the door, and what are we doing? We're pouring out. We're pouring out of our vessel. We don't have anything else. We say, Lord, I don't have any means of meeting my needs. I've done all I can. I'm exhausted. I've exhausted every resource. And God said, just come in here in this secret place and pour out, and I can take what you pour out and I can fill empty vessels, the house full. Amen. Amen. Look at verse number 5. And she went out from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels into her, and she poured out. Amen. Just like what our Lord said in His teaching in Matthew. Amen. I got to thinking about how we're supposed to shut the door and pour our hearts out to God. Sometimes we think, Lord, what good is that going to do? Just like this woman. She poured oil out of that pot numbers of times. But always later, she'd have to pour more in. This time she poured out and kept pouring out and kept pouring out and kept pouring out because God was filling it from an inner source. Amen. Listen, that oil represents the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? We have the Holy Ghost in us. It is an inner source of power, not our own power. It's divine power. It's the power of God. And when we pray and we say, Lord, maybe we pray till we run out of words. We're not even able to say what we ought to say. The Bible said that's when the Holy Ghost kicks in, thank God. And the Holy Ghost prays for us with words that can't be uttered, amen. With groanings that can't be uttered. And the Holy Ghost takes those prayers when we don't even know how we ought to pray and carries them right to the throne room of God. And God, who is in secret and who sees us in secret, rewards us openly. That's what the Bible said. Amen. Amen. Now, isn't it true that we need probably, just like what we've heard here today, we need to take family members we've talked about, and in our heart, we need to go in that secret place and shut the door and pour that out to God and ask God to do something with this empty vessel. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have any oil in them.
Right.
And ask God, Lord, I'm pouring out. Would you pour in? Amen. Sometimes there may be situations here in church. We know of sicknesses. We know a little bit about some problems probably. Listen, what we'll do is go in a secret place, get a hold of God, and pour out the oil that's in us and ask God to pour in the oil on those that are empty. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. That's my thought. It encourages me to find my place behind the door. Amen. It encourages me to find my place in the secret place and call on God, who is able. He is able to do what we can't do. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this time. I thank You, Lord, for grace. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word that's always right on time. And Your Spirit that knows exactly how to orchestrate everything. Lord, the service, as far as I can see, looks like everything went perfectly, hand in glove, the way it ought to be, to get us to this point, thinking about loved ones. Lord, I want to thank You for saving Maria out of a Catholic home. Father, I pray You do the same thing for these others that's got family members in Catholic homes. Lord, I want to thank You that You've not just saved them out of Catholic homes. You saved a young man today out of a Church of Christ background. And there may be members here that's got loved ones in that same background. Lord, you've saved people out of alcoholism. You've saved people out of sexual sins. You've saved people out of drugs. You've saved people, Brother Mark talked about, you've saved people right on the verge of committing suicide. And we've probably got loved ones in some of those categories. Lord, I'm praying that you'll help us find ourselves in that secret place and pour out the oil that's in us and ask you, Lord, and trust you to gather them in and pour that oil in them, the Holy Ghost in them, that they might be saved, that they might trust Christ and know what we know and go where we're going when we die. I ask you, Lord, to work in this invitation time according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. While we sing, if you need to come, 163, if you need to come, do business with the Lord.